Let the church say amen.
Amen. Brother Hall did a good job, a fine job this morning.
Amen.
Had everybody singing, I believe, this morning. So let us be ever thankful to God for blessing us and bringing us back once again to worship and serve Him in spirit and in truth. We have the scripture for your hearing has been read, Psalms 126, the first six verses, but I want you to take note of verse number 3. The Lord has done great things for us where we are glad. Are you glad that the Lord has blessed you this morning? You ought to say so. Say, thank you, Lord. God is good. All the time. And all the time, God is good. Let us remember that and carry that with us each and every day of our lives. We thank God through for His goodness, His mercy, and His grace, but most of all for His love, loving us enough to send His dear Son down to hang, bleed, and die. In that text today, as we will go a little bit further into it as we go along, I want you to notice something there, though. It says in verse 3, the Lord has done great things for us. Where are we are glad. So we ought to be glad. Let us take a moment and go to God in prayer. Oh Lord, our Heavenly Father, thank you for blessing us, Lord, one more time and giving us one more opportunity to be able to come out to serve Thee in spirit and in truth. We left our house, oh Lord, on the way to your house, and we thank you that we made it here. And we know and thank you, Father, that some may still be on their way. And for them, we ask safe passage, that they may get here safely and secure. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for the church. Thank you for your Son, Jesus, who hung, bled, and died on yonder's cross, that we may have this opportunity to worship Thee in spirit and in truth and for eternal life. Father, we thank you so very much for the church here at Stony Island. We thank you for each and every member and their families, O Lord. And we just pray that you would grant unto them the things and the blessings that are needed that they may continue on in this life, O Lord. Father, we pray for those who have lost loved ones. And Father, you know we are living in terrible dark times right now. But Father, we just pray that your will might be done on all of our lives. We thank you for the leaders of this congregation and their families. We thank you for the brothers who have taken part in the services and their families thus far. We thank you, Father, for so much and for everything. Father, we thank you so much that this morning you brought out the sunlight into our eyes, O Heavenly Father, and we thank you for allowing us to see the sunlight and for giving us the sunlight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for every morsel of food that we put in our stomachs. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for food and shelter and raiment for our bodies as well. Thank you, O Lord, for everything you do for us, and especially thank you for sending Jesus to walk to Calvary's hill and mount yonder's cross and spread out his arms and die on yonder's cross for us. Thank you, Lord. Now, my Heavenly Father, as we move on into the next portion of our services, now we thank you and we pray that everything we have done thus far has been done decently and in order. In the name of Jesus, we pray and ask for all of these blessings, O Lord. Let the church say amen. This morning, as I said, Psalms 126, the first six verses, but in particular the third verse, the Lord has done great things for us whereof we are glad. Now, what that tells me is that I want you to notice something in there. It says, behold, I'm looking at the wrong. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Now, the Lord is still in the same blessing business. And that's the subject of our message this morning. Our Savior is still offering great blessings. Our text tells us what the writer said. The Lord has done great things for them. But He's also doing great things for us today. If it were not so, how and by whom did you get up this morning? He is still in the business of doing great things. He's still in the business of giving great blessings to us right now. He is still the same God that He was yesterday. He is still the same today, and He will still be the same God of tomorrow. Let us be thankful for that. So let us go on into our lesson right now. His salvation is still being offered to all who will still come to Him. In Hebrews chapter 7 and verse number 25, the Bible says, wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He even liveth to make intercessions for them. He is the perfect power. Why do we know this? Because He has the power of endless life, according to Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 16. He continues forever, according to verse number 24. Also, He lets us know He is unchangeable. Therefore, Jesus is the perfect Savior. He offers us all we need to be saved. You know, if a person is not in a saved state, it's not because God has prevented them from being there. It's because we refuse to go there. He can save us from our sins, from death, and from condemnation, according to John chapter 5 and verse number 24. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Jesus is offering salvation unto us today. He is still our living and loving Savior. This salvation is forever and it's final. Notice in John chapter 10, verses 28 through verse number 29, Jesus said in the Bible, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So the question may become, how can you promise that, Lord? Watch verse number 29 in that same chapter. It says, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, not some, but greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. You know, when you think about that, that's a powerful statement. No man is able to pluck them out of my hand. The good hands, people can't offer that. The rock of Gibraltar may crumble. Even if the oceans run dry, God will still be there for us if we but simply obey Him. There's no other way one can be saved except through Christ Jesus. He's still offering great peace. There's no doubt that we live in troubled times. It seems on most days we hear about nothing but bad things. Robberies, shootings, killings, child abuse, spousal abuse. Drugs are so rampant it now seems that those who haven't tried drugs are in the minority and still in the majority. But in the midst of all of our troubles, Jesus still has peace to give us. I want you to watch John 14 and verse number 27. The Bible says, Jesus said in the Bible, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, not give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. This was spoken by Jesus before He left this world. You might say, this was His will His last will and His offering and promise to us. His peace. It was true peace. Not spoken from the lips of mankind, but as a blessing from Jesus, which makes it more valuable than any man's blessing that He may offer you, or any man's talk that He may offer you. Then His promise included rules for offering peace. Rules for offering peace to not allow our hearts to be troubled nor afraid. A Christian, and I've said this before, but I'm saying it again, a Christian has no reason to let their hearts be troubled. For Jesus has left for us an assurance of peace. You might say that Jesus has left a peace plan or a prescription for peace, if you will. In Philippians chapter 7, verses 5 through 7, it tells us a few things about peace. I'm going to just paraphrase them and break it down for you. He says in verse 5, be kind unto all men. Be careful for nothing. In other words, in verse 6, don't worry about stuff. Too many of us get stuff all mixed up in our priority listing. And we forget about that God said, do not let your heart be troubled. Instead, learn to pray about everything, according to verse 6. Be thankful for all things, in verse number 7. But the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He also offers us joy as well as peace. There's joy in serving the Lord. Certainly there's joy in salvation He gives us through His word. I want you to notice something, what the psalmist asked in Psalms 51 and verse 12. He said, therefore with joy shall we draw, in Isaiah 12 and 3, therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And David knew who and what to ask for when he went to the Lord in Psalms 51 and 12. I knew I'd get there. In Psalms 51 and 12, he says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. There's joy in the Lord, and His joy is our strength, according to Nehemiah 8 and verse number 10. I tell you something, when the psalmist sat down and penned these words, look at what he says again in verse 3. Well, let's just read them all. When the Lord turned again to the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless once again with rejoicing bring in his sheaves with him. I want you to notice, if you will, how thankful those people were when they were praising this, when they were writing this song and penning these words. They were grateful that God had blessed them. And we ought to be grateful today that God is still in the blessing business. You know, without the blessings of God, how would we have gotten here this morning? How would we have even gotten up out of our beds this morning? You know, somebody woke up this morning, but they were not able to get up. Somebody woke up this morning, but they were not able to come out to the house of God. But we were. And we ought to be eternally grateful. So many Christians are living defeated lives today. Some even, you probably have heard some even say they can't hold out much longer. I say to them, it's plain to see that they don't know Psalms 23. Psalms 23 said, the Bible says in Psalms 23, and I know most of us know it anyway, but I'm going to reread it. Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy, and anointest my head with joy. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now I want you to notice something there. As David was penning these words, he had a much praise to give unto God, did he not, church? He said in verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. In verse number 3, he says, he offers restoration for our wearied soul and keep us in righteous path. In verse number 4, he says, we have no need to fear evil from anyone or anything, even death. Verse number 5, it says, he fills my cup till it runs over. Verse 6, I can dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What need is there for a Christian to not have a troubled heart? There's reason not to have a troubled heart, I should say. There's so much that a Christian can be thankful for today. For God is still blessing us, and he is still in the blessing business. He is still offering many great blessings because he is a great Savior. There's no need for a Christian to live their life in fear, for the psalmist knew what God was capable of. So when he penned that 23rd Psalm, we can live by it just as well. Our Savior gives us power through his grace. Grace is God's power made available to us. It's through his grace we can overcome stuff. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 4 tells us in part, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. God's Spirit dwells in us, and it's more powerful than that of the world. Paul is a witness to grace. Paul knew all about grace, but do you remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 12? Where Paul asked the Lord three times to take his condition, this condition that he was suffering, he asked him to take it away. God did answer him even after Paul asked three times. He told him instead, he said, Paul, I won't take it away, but instead my grace is sufficient. God is in the business of grace. So whatever we may be going through, go to God with it. We all hope for better days. Sometimes our days do get better. Sometimes they may even get worse. But let us always go to the Master with whatever is ailing us. He is not only our living hope, but he is our eternal hope as well. So when I think about how great the psalmist was when he penned those words in Psalms 23. I think even greater when they penned these words in Psalms 126, especially that third verse. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. Are you glad, church? You ought to say so then. You ought to say that you are glad. You ought to look at your next door neighbor, the person sitting right next to you, and say, I'm so glad that the Lord has blessed me and still in the business of blessing. Turn to your neighbor and just simply say that right now. God is good. All the time, God is great. God is not like any other man in the world. God is different than any man in this world. God can give us what no man can give us. Man can only promise us things. But God is a deliverer of promises. He can make the little into a lot. He can make the way out of no way. He can make a highway through the rough waters of the Red Sea. What do you think he can do for us? I asked the question this morning, has God done anything for you lately? If God has done something for you lately, you ought to be glad. Because God is in that business. And I think today that God has blessed all of us tremendously. You see, when I went to bed last night, just like you, I didn't know whether I was going to get up or not. I didn't know how I was going to be feeling when I got up this morning. But when I got up, I thanked God for all of His blessings because He let me sleep through the night. I didn't know what was going on because I was asleep just like you. I didn't know what I didn't even have in mind what I might eat when I get up in the morning. But thanks be to God, He got me up. He let me sleep through the night. He got me up on time. It may have not been the time I wanted to get up, but He got me up when He woke me up. I tell you something, you can't beat God. God's time is not like our time. God's time is different, and He doesn't wear a Rolex, but He knows what time to do just what He needs to do for us. God doesn't have a computer, but He accepts prayer. God knows what we need before we even ask. But sometimes some of us need to go more to God than we do. We need to get down on our knees from time to time. And I'm going to make something clear to you. You don't always have to be on your knees to ask God for something. You can pray while you're walking. You can pray while you're driving, and you ought to be praying while you're driving. And you ought to be praying while you're walking, because God is able to hear our prayers anytime and any way He wants us to hear Him, or any way we want Him to hear Him, I should say. God is all right, church. And then when I think about it, I look at the world from time to time. I look at how great this world is for us. How many things that we can't do, but God can do. I look at just what God has meant to this world and what the world means to Him. First of all, in John chapter 3 and verse number 16, God so loved us that He gave His only begotten Son to save us. Now that's a feat in itself. You know, I always tell you, I wouldn't have done it. I wouldn't have sent my Son down here to save us. But God thought enough of us to save us by sending His only begotten Son. And I thank Him for that. And then every morning when I wake up in the morning, I think the first thing we ought to do is go to God in prayer. And then whenever you sit down and you think about it for a moment, how much of what God gives us could you have given yourself? Not as much as God has given us, that's for certain. You got a job. A lot of us have jobs that we work on. And we ought to be thankful to God that we do work, first of all. For the Bible speaks of a man supposed to be a worker. And God has given us jobs, many of us. And we ought to be thankful for those jobs. And some of us just take them for granted. If I wake up and get up in the morning feeling all right, I might go to work. But we ought to be thankful that God has given us that job. We ought to be thankful that God has allowed us to get up and go to work each and every morning. And you know, there are many people who are not here with us anymore. And when they were living, I'm sure they didn't think about, some of them I should say, didn't think about the day that they were going to die. But I'm telling you that God is still in the blessing business. God still knows what we need, and He shall provide our needs. Now, I know most of us need millions of dollars. But I'm not saying that God is going to give you $1 million. But if he allowed you to have a position where you can get some income, then you can at least pay your bills. That's a blessing. If you can buy food, that's a blessing. If you can pay your utility bills, that's a blessing. If you've got a family, a wife and kids, or a husband and kids, then that's a blessing. But you know something? We sometimes forget to take, and we take for granted some of the little things that God, if it's not a big thing, sometimes we just kind of push it to the side. But we ought to be thankful for every blessing that God gives us. God is so great, he gives us so much. And sometimes we just forget. We just say, Lord, you're doing what you're supposed to do. But that's not so. He can cut us off at any time. But be thankful to God for everything that you get and everything that you've got. Remember, God is in the business of, still in the business of blessing. Giving us great blessings. Giving us blessings one on top of another. There was a time when I was a kid, I look back on it a lot of times. When I get together with my sisters, we often talk about it. Do you remember when we wanted such and such thing and our father wouldn't get it for us? That was his way of keeping us in check, I think. Because if we got too much, we wouldn't be appreciative of what we did have. So he kept us in check by not giving us everything we asked for. I asked him for a pair of gym shoes one time, and back then, the gym shoes only cost $4 a pair, $3.99. I didn't get the gym shoes. I was told we'll go across the street to Crown Shoe Store, where you get two pair for $5. And I got a pair over there that was less than half the price of the one gym shoe that I wanted. But you know what? I still loved him. And I still love him to this day, even though he's not here. But that was my father, and he did the best I think he thought he could do at that time. Well, that's how our Heavenly Father works, somewhat like that, except in a greater capacity. He gives us what we need, not always what we want, but what we need. God will supply all our needs. Will he not, church? God said, the word of God tells us that he'll supply our needs. Our needs are our daily bread and our daily living. And we ought to be grateful for that. So when I go back and look one more time at that 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Now, I can't repeat the whole because my mind will fail me before I get through all six verses. But I just want you to know that in the 23rd Psalm, it's all been summed up for us. It tells us all how David praises God, and he offers praises unto God for doing so much for him. And I ask you this question before I take my seat. Are you giving God his proper praises? Are you praising God the way you should? Think about it for a minute. Don't answer me, because I'm afraid of some of the answers I might get. But just take your time and take time out of your day and go back and give back to God his in praises and in prayer. You know, God is a prayer answerer if you ask him. I'm not saying he'll answer you every time you ask for something, but he'll answer you sometimes, and sometimes he won't. Sometimes he just simply says, wait on it. But I'll tell you another thing, and then I'm going to take my seat. God is a good God. All the time I hear Brother Hill saying, and all the time God is good. So I ask you one last question this morning. Are you as good to God as God is to you? And I already know the answer without even hearing your answer. But if you're not somewhat good to God, you need to change your thinking and your ways of action. And go to God and more often. Because God can do what you can't do and He can do what I can't do. All we got to do is follow through in prayer and let God handle the rest. So if there's anyone who's not a member of the Lord's body, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. I know it's cold out, but Brother Jackson is willing and able to baptize today. Isn't that right, Brother Jackson? All right. So if you're not here, if you're here and you're not a member of the Lord's body, you follow those five steps and you come to the Lord. And if you are a member of the Lord's body, but you've walked astray. And let me just clarify this. I got another minute or two. Don't think that because you're a Christian, you don't go astray. Christians go astray more than sinners, because sinners are not Christians, and Christians are Christians. Now, I didn't say that to puzzle you. What I was simply saying is that even Christians can walk astray. And sometimes we need to come up, ask the church to pray for us and be with us. And if you're not a Christian, you come by those steps. But if you are a Christian and you walked astray, you come back to God by asking Him for forgiveness and then come forward and ask the church to pray with and for you. If this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.